Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Dave Erfle, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Dave, let's start off with the action in the precious metals stocks, whether you're looking at gold stocks or silver stocks. Boy, oh boy, it's been a pretty quick pullback here. It was not that long ago that if we're looking at GDXJ, just last week reached a high of just over 51, 51.75. And now all of a sudden, GDXJ is down to a little under 43, 42 and change right now. Boy, oh boy, it's been a very quick correction. You still look at these weekly charts, even daily charts, and it's not like the stocks or these ETFs are fully breaking down, but it's been a fast move that gave up pretty much 2 months worth of positive price action in a matter of a few trading days. What's your takeaway from this pretty fast pullback in the precious metal stocks, Dave?
Yeah, last Thursday, to be specific, we had Jerome Powell come out and basically put a 50 basis point rate hike on the table. And all of a sudden, the market starts pricing in a Fed-induced recession after it looks like they also are pricing in the Fed funds rate being up to 2.75% by the end of the year. So panic selling came into to the entire marketplace. I mean, on last Friday, all 11 sectors ended down in the red, and that includes defense sectors. So, you know, when these things happen, you know, the margin clerk becomes more important than central bankers, and everybody sells everything. And if you take a look at the ETF buying in gold for 13 consecutive weeks, there was major inflows. You know, the gold sectors and commodities and energy, you know, these are sectors that are up. So these sectors were hit with margin call selling. So the gold price went all the way down to test the 18 strong support it at 1880 to 1890. Yet the GDXJ sold off all the way down to its 200-day moving average at 43. And it happened very quickly. And, you know, when you have these false breakouts, especially when they happen on lower volume, you know, Shad and I talked about that for the past few weeks, how this breakout, that the concern was it happened on decreasing volume. And so when you have a false breakout like that, the move lower happens quick, and it has happened very quick here. So I'm expecting a bounce here. Today, of course, is options expiration day for gold and silver. And the gold price was able to hold above 1900 on the COMEX close today, which tomorrow is first notice of delivery. And so I expect a bounce here since it's so oversold, got so oversold so quickly. It went from being overbought on the daily to oversold on the daily in basically within a week last week. So then when it opened here this Monday, it opened with a huge gap on both GDX and GDXJ. So I think there's a good chance that that gap is filled before Friday, because Friday there's another important data set coming out. You know, we're saved from Fed speak this week because they're on a blackout, but the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis they're going to be releasing the personal consumption expenditures price index, and that's really the Fed's preferred gauge of inflation. And it's expected to come in lower at 5.3% on a yearly basis from last March 5.4 reading. So a softer inflation data, which I don't see that happening, would support the gold price, but a higher inflation figure would probably bring more selling into gold, as the market is expecting the Fed to be super hawkish on Tuesday. Remember that this has all happened after the Fed's only raised interest rates a quarter point. This is all in expectation of them getting super hawkish. Will they be able to raise rates by 2.75%? By the end of the year, I highly doubt it, because, you know, all that debt becomes really expensive, and the stock market will really get hit hard. So it's, you know, we've got the Nasdaq already testing its recent lows, and it's not yet become oversold yet on a daily basis. So, you know, all this is pending on Fed speak again. You know, we got another really important Federal Reserve meeting coming up next week. And basically last week, the relative weakness, all of a sudden, the relative weakness in the miners and silver in relation to the gold price was warning this was going to happen this week.
Yeah, Dave, I had blamed you in the past for going out of town and traveling and having the markets crash, but I traveled last week and everything crashed as well. And for me, it was interesting because I was really out of touch with the internet and I hadn't been looking at it every day. And I hadn't been looking at it multiple times during the day as we normally do. And so to come back and see just how quickly it was reversed was a bit shocking to me. And to see it follow through on Monday and gap down, as you mentioned, that it's probably going to get filled, as you mentioned, on a maybe a rebound. But at this point, a lot of people got caught wrong-footed. And we are coming up this Friday on not just a weekly close, but a monthly close. So I'm just curious, is there any level in gold that you'd like to see it close above to end the week? Or are there any levels you'd like to see it not close below?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see the gold price close above 1900 for the month. But I would not like to see gold close below the 1835 to 1850 level, which I don't think that will take place. I think that's a bit low. But hey, you never know with how fast this move has happened, especially after a false breakout. So yeah, that 1830, 1850 area is the war breakout level. So there's really good support there, but the strongest support is 1780 and 1800. I would not like to see a daily or weekly close lower than that. So I think those levels might come into play after Fed speak, because I think PCE number is going to be a big catalyst. And like you said, the monthly close also. So as far as the monthly is concerned, yeah, I'd like to see the 1830 to 1850 area hold.
So, Dave, look, I hate to mention 1800 again, because boy, oh boy, if we get back to 1800, that's going to shy a lot more people away from the sector and say, oh, great, now we're stuck in that level again. I realize that a lot of this is coming on the back of Fed rate hike fears or concerns. And quite frankly, the war premium seems to be all but gone because, I don't know, it doesn't seem like the markets are trading very much over the war in Ukraine. What other markets do you think are important? We've talked a lot about the U.S. dollar. That continues to move higher. That's over 102 on the dollar index. Is this an important factor to watch? Is there other markets, other sectors we should be watching? Give some more clarity on that aspect, please.
It is, yes. I mean, before the dollar got above 100 on the index, on the DXY, gold and the dollar were rising together. In fact, 80% of the time they've been rising together ever since the war broke out. But once the 100 level was breached on the DXY, now it's starting to pressure gold. And also rising yields, of course, were pressuring gold. So I wouldn't like to see the dollar price continue to rise and continue to hurt the gold price. I would like to see them rising in tandem. But the reason why they were rising in tandem mostly was because of the war in Ukraine. And like you said, that war move has pretty much come off now. And as far as that 1835, 1850 level, the way the miners are acting here, I think that's pretty much a given to be tested.
Well, that's not going to make a lot of people happy to hear, Dave. But I think you're right. I think the miners are signaling potentially lower prices in gold and possibly in silver as well. One thing I'm curious about, though, yes, the dollar has been stronger and it can pressure the commodities as a whole, and it could pressure the precious metals. But we shouldn't just beat up the precious metal sector, because really the last 4 to 5 trading sessions, a lot of the markets have sold off. Pick your sector. They've all gotten.
Yeah, everything.
So yeah. I would have expected gold to maybe just get a little bit more safe haven bid. You mentioned earlier on that maybe they were getting a little of that today. But all things considered, we do still have a Ukraine war going on. We do still have the Fed rate hiking cycle going on. But we also have lower GDP estimates. We have concerns about China being shut down. We have all this global chaos going on. Why do you think it is that gold isn't getting more of a safe haven bid and traveling higher with the dollar?
Well, right, and that's the thing. You see, if you take a look at China, that's a huge market that's coming off here, as Shanghai, the city of 25 million people, was completely locked down. It's only now beginning to open up a bit, and the Shanghai port has been completely closed down, and that's a huge port. And now Beijing is starting to lock down. That's 20 million people that can't go out and buy gold. So, you know, and like I said, you know, as far as the ETF buying is concerned, those buys are coming off because of margin calls here. So I think that's a big reason right there.
Dave, what about the factor that we need to pay attention to here is that all commodities are selling off. Commodities are selling off, mm-hmm. dollars going higher, markets are selling off. This speaks more deflation than inflation, which seemed to be the trend here recently.
Well, yeah, you consider commodities, you know, most of them went parabolic and they need to come off. And that's what's happening, especially oil. You know, oil shot up to $130 a barrel. So that's another thing that needs to start rising again is the oil price. If the oil price starts rising again, that will also help the gold price. And I think that will happen. But before it happens, I think on recession fears and on growth fears in China and also the European Union, the oil price can come down to $85, $90 a barrel and go down a little lower here before it starts to go higher. So we have to consider that. And that's all being factored in to this ongoing consolidation of the gold price. And, you know, as the gold price remains between $1,800 and $2,000 an ounce, while inflation continues to go higher, that continues to not only hurt the bottom line of miners. I mean, you look at Newmont's recent financials that came out. You know, their bottom line was hit because of rising inflation. It also hits the juniors who are either about to build or constructing these projects, where their capex continues to go higher while the gold price stagnates between $1,800 and $2,000 an ounce.
Well, Dave, I just got to ask you, because you're the junior miner junkie, and the junior miners have been a little junky lately.
Yes, they have.
They've not responded well. So are you tempted, when you're managing your portfolio here, to try to do a little bottom fishing maybe in the next few weeks as we get this pullback? And from a longer term standpoint, for maybe investors that are a little discouraged that they maybe got positioned, saw their stocks finally moving, and then saw them crash right back down, do you think that this may be a prolonged correction period, or do you think this may be a last good opportunity to pick up some stocks on the cheap before we finally get a sustained move higher?
Yeah, we need to wait here with some cash in our account to find out what happens, because this correction has been a buzzsaw. You know, when gold failed at $2,000 an ounce for the second time within the past few months and reversed so quickly, and then the miners, it was an all of a sudden thing where the miners, first, you know, the miners and silver were leading the gold price on this move, after both the GDX and GDXJ bottomed for 6 months. They put in this nice solid bottom, and when they were breaking out of this bottom, they were doing so, you know, while the miners were leading gold and silver also. But all of a sudden last week that flipped, and it flipped in a big way. So now you have the miners and silver showing obvious relative weakness to the gold price. And silver is the thing what you really need to be concerned about here. You need to be concerned about that $22 level holding in the silver price. If it continues to show relative weakness to gold here, and the stock market continues to tank on recession fears, the silver, you know, the industrial component of silver is over 50%. It's more of an industrial metal now than it is a precious metal. So the silver price could get hit really hard. And we know how these things happen in silver. These moves happen fast and they're sharp. So we need to watch that $22 level on the silver chart. And if you take a look at the SILJ, which was leading it oftentimes during the move off of these bases in the sector, it's had a sharp, sharp correction as well. That's made up of higher risk silver juniors. So you got to really be careful with silver only juniors here, especially silver only juniors that are drill plays. So as far as silver is concerned, that's the metal I'm concerned about the most here.
Fair enough. Silver has been very disappointing. Even when it was outperforming and the silver stocks were outperforming gold recently, it still didn't make for an exciting chart. And that's maybe one of the biggest problems too, is that as close as these sectors came to breaking out, gold stocks did a bit better. They can't hold these breakouts. And boy, oh boy, did it all switch very quickly just in the last few trading days with how much downward pressure we've seen. Dave, we'll chat next week. Hopefully we get a little bit of stabilization here. But as we approach the end of this month, April's turning out to be a bit of a tough month. Dave, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you.